Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
RecTech Grills. RecTech with a Q.com, R-E-C-T-E-Q. Smart grill technology. Turn it on by your phone. Cook your meat by your phone. I love that. You know, we're gloating a little bit today in Los Angeles. Dodgers and the Lakers, the Rams are good. We get a little gloat. We're not going crazy on this. A little L.A.-centric today. Congrats to the Dodgers, who are have been built the right way, overwhelmingly through their farm system. Occasionally dabbled in the big dollars with Clayton Kershaw or Mookie Betts, but they have an incredibly enriched farm system, which allows them to go out and trade for Mookie Betts, and they did it the right way. In the city of Los Angeles, where a lot of people have lived through the heartbreak of 7 or 8 years, it's very much like the Atlanta Braves. You know, they had that Smoltz, John Smoltz, and your Chipper Jones, and you were so good for so long, and you kept getting in. Then you win one. And it feels different. It's different. Like sometimes, you know, we've said this. In baseball, the Yankees have bought some championships. Sometimes in the NBA, LeBron AD, you buy a championship. But when you really, it's your guys, it's your farm team, you have maybe one other guy you bring in. I mean, because everybody has, you know, somebody not from their organization. But it felt like a real thing last night.
When you suffer a little bit, you appreciate it more.
Absolutely. That's
right. I mean, making it to the World Series and, you know, winning your division every year is not really suffering, but...
Like
again, you're in Los Angeles. You have championship expectations.
That's right. Eric Dickerson, the Hall of Famer, 11 years in the NFL. When he retired, he was the number two running back rusher in the history of the National Football League, and he now joins me live. Rams at the Dolphins Sunday on Fox. Actually, a fascinating game because the Rams are coming off a big Monday night game, a short week, travel cross-country. Here comes Tua. And Eric, we know you're a Ram. You love the Rams. But they're a fascinating team. We mostly know, Eric, who the bad teams are and who the good teams are. And we just found out the Bears were a fraud, even though they had a winning team record. And there's a lot of people around the country that don't buy the Rams. I didn't last year. I do this year. I think their offensive line play has been better than I thought. You're Mr. Ram. Do you know what they are? Do you buy them?
Well, let's say this one thing. Yeah, I'm the Ram ambassador, but I tell it like it is. You know, that's my thing. And you know, at first I just wasn't sure, and still I'm still a little unsure about them. You know, like, when I look at last week's game where they got beat down in San Francisco, it was embarrassing. They really got manhandled, and I think that's because when you're in your conference, you play a team twice a year. They pretty much know you.
Yeah.
And that just happens. But this football team has shown that they can beat. We thought they were a good football team in Chicago. They have a great defense. But one thing about the Rams is I feel like this. In certain teams, you feel at one point, if you're not playing good, but you're still winning, or you're playing over expectations, people not expecting you to be that good, and you start winning, all of a sudden, you may not be that good, but you all of a sudden, you start feeling like you're that good, and you start playing like you're that good. And I feel like that's what the Rams are right now. I think a lot of people are not sure about them, but they feel they're confident. You know, the way they beat the Bears last week, you know, at home with not fans, but they still beat them pretty good. And that's a confidence builder. Now you're going into Miami to play the Dolphins. The Dolphins are a team to me that always plays hard. They might not win, but they're going to play you down to the wire. They're coming in with a young quarterback, Tua, unsure about him. Their offensive line, I think our defensive line can beat up their offensive line, just like our defensive line beat up Chicago's defensive line. So that's where I think the matchup will be is right there in that football game. But the Rams, am I sure about them? I'm still on the cusp. But right now we're 5-2, so I'm happy about that.
Let me ask you about the trade deadline. The Seahawks went out and got Carlos Dunlap. The Packers reportedly are interested in the Eagles tight end Zach Ertz. You were traded before. It is much more of a mobile league now. There's more trades than ever. There's a lot of young, aggressive general managers, Eric. Les Snead, Tom Telesco in L.A., we've got two. They'll go out and make moves. This is the new league we live in. Do you ever worry? Carlos Dunlap's not happy in Cincinnati. The locker room in Seattle is excellent. It's excellent. It's got leaders. Do you worry? Can you bring in a player at the trade deadline? He's a veteran. He's got expectations, and it takes the locker room in a bad place. Do you worry about that at all?
I mean, it can happen, but it's going to happen to a young team. You know, if you got a veteran team and you bring a guy in that you say you want to say he's a cancer, that's really not going to change your football team much, because you have the leaders in that locker room. Those are the guys. Those are the guys that the team is going to follow. And it's like, get in line or get out. It's like the Antonio Brown, to me, going to Tampa Bay. People are like, that's a bad deal. I said, I don't think it is, because this is a veteran football. Tampa's a veteran football team. You bring in a guy who's had some problems, and this could be his last stop. So when you bring a guy in, you feel like if it's a bunch of young players, a bunch of 22, 23, 24-year-olds, and you have maybe one or two veterans, it could be a problem. But when you have a seasoned team with a good locker room, you don't worry about that guy.
Yeah. You know, it's we look at Dallas, and I said earlier, I think they're a rebuilding team. They just don't realize it yet. Now, they did move Everson Griffin today to the Lions, or yesterday, so they're starting to come around in what they are. When you're in the NFL and you played 5 years for the Rams, five for the Colts, then one each for the Falcons and Raiders, do players know? Do you think, like, were you ever on a team and you thought to yourself, listen, man, this is a rebuilding team. Like, we got to get rid of a couple of good players and get draft picks. How does that sit with a player, like if you're a Dallas Cowboy and you start moving people, are you signaling to the locker room, nobody buys it? We're just this, what's the point? Like, can it just dovetail the season?
Oh, most definitely. It really can. I'll say this much. When I went from the Rams to the Colts, that was a whole different locker room. And you felt it right away. One thing about being on the Rams, we were a very close-knit football team. We got a bunch of leaders in that locker room. You had the Jack Youngbloods, the Jackie Slaters, the Leroy Irvings, you know, you and Vince Ferragamo. You had real leaders in that locker room. You go to another team, and then all of a sudden, here is the jealousy. And it really, it's jealousy. It's almost like a bunch of girls fighting. You know, he's getting too much press. This guy, he's making too much money. You know, and I'm serious, Colin. That's just how it is. And I had never been on a team that was more divided because of your names in the paper or the money you make in my life. And the thing is, when other players say it, it becomes a real problem. So most definitely, certain things can, you go to certain teams and it's just, you feel as soon as you walk in, like, man, this is not what I'm used to. And you hate to be there, but you have a job to do. That's what it comes down to. I'm here to play football. I'm here to do my job.
You, more than anybody, as we listen to you, you know the value of landing in a good organization. You just said, I was in a good one, went to a bad one. If you're Trevor Lawrence's agent, he doesn't need New York. He could stay in college. The Jets are a mess. What would you tell Trevor Lawrence if the Jets are the team, they have the number one pick, and you represent him, and he's already been dominant at college, what would you tell him?
Man, I'll tell him maybe go back to college. Oh, you know what? Force it while they're going to just have to trade you. Like, you don't want to be there. Because I'm telling you, it's just certain organizations. And the Jets are a bad organization. They are. Cincinnati Bengals, bad organization. I mean, you know, you've been bad for so long. Why are you bad? The Cleveland Browns, you know, bad organization. They're trying to fight their way out of it. But it's certain teams that are bad, but you're bad for a reason. I mean, you really are. It's just not about the players. It starts at the top, and it works its way down. It's the drafting. It's the decisions you make, the players you keep, the players you don't draft. You know, you move up to get somebody like, why did we take him? We didn't need a quarterback. We needed offensive linemen. I mean, so it's a lot of moving parts there. But most definitely, if he goes to the Jets, man, it's certain players that the team you went to makes your career. It really does.
Yeah.
And you go to another team, your career is not the same.
Yeah.
I always say, if you put Tom Brady in Cleveland for his whole career, or in Cincinnati, he's not the Tom Brady that we know right now. Joe Montana, if you put him in Cleveland or Cincinnati, he's not the Joe Montana. That's just how it is. It's certain organizations that they breed winning. They know how to win. And it's certain organizations that know how to lose, and that's all they know.
You know, finally, Eric Dickerson, the Hall of Famer. So if you were 13 again and you see all the money, all the money going to quarterbacks and wide receivers, and you're a talented kid, and Eric Dickerson now is 10, 11, 12 years old, would you still play running back?
You know what makes that a great question? My son is 8 years old, and he loves running the football. He plays, he plays running back. He loves that. And my wife, she wants him to play quarterback. I just feel like you do what you love. I mean, me personally, I want to be a running back, and I'd be a running back all over again. I just love that position. I loved everything about it, especially in my era. My era was the running back. It was all about the running back. And that's what made it special. I mean, it really did. I mean, if you had a great back or a back that could dominate a game, boom, you use it. Today's football is way different. I mean, it's about throwing the football. It's about receivers. It's about, tight ends. But most definitely, I would still go to my same position, the running back, because I believe this, Colin. If I was playing in today's league, man, I might even be more dominant there because these guys don't want to tackle.
They don't.
I think I get 2,100 yards almost every year.
That's funny. So your son's mom wants him to play quarterback.
Yes, he wants him to play quarterback, but he loves running. He is so fast. And I'm not saying my son's gonna play football, nothing like that. I'm not that dad. But man, he's fast, and he can cut. He can do things. I see him do things that I didn't do when I was his age, and I'm like, I just think he's gonna be a great athlete, if given a chance.
Well, send me the tape. I'll pass it around. All right, there you go.
I'll send you the tape. Okay.
Eric Dickerson, good Pro Football Hall of Fame. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks.
All right. You get to wear your jersey today. After your team wins a championship, you get to wear a Dodger jersey today. That's okay. I always said, I'm not a jersey-wearing guy, but you get to wear it Sunday. If you go to the stadium, you got to wear the jersey. Just can't wear it on Tuesday to work.
There's certain places it's acceptable.
Yeah, if your team wins a championship, you get to wear your jersey for a day, and you get to wear it on game day. You can't wear it in a date. You can't wear it on Tuesday at work. But today in Los Angeles, you got to wear your Dodger hat. I'll go to the car wash today. There'll be Dodger hats everywhere.
Are they going to be on backwards?
No, not if they're winners. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
Speaking of those winning Dodgers, they won their first World Series title in 32 years. With a 3-1 win in Game 6, Clayton Kershaw is finally getting his ring after years of postseason disappointments. He was my second thought. My first thought was, wow, how do you let Mookie Betts get out of your city? Was my first thought.
Isn't that incredible?
It's wild. It's wild. And my second thought was, I'm happy for Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, God, everybody in L.A. is. He's a really – I got a long story, but I have a relationship with a business guy. He's a buddy of mine I do some business with, and he does business with Kershaw. Clayton's a great guy. Everybody loves Clayton. He's a wonderful guy.
He was almost at a loss for words describing how he felt after the win.
I've been saying, World Series champs in my head over and over again just to see if it'll sink in. And I can't put it into words yet. I'm so happy for my wife that she's just the sense of relief that she has that we finally did it. And for my whole fan, I mean, just the people that are just happy for me is just, it's overwhelming just to see the support.
No, that's just wonderful.
He played in
Look at him. He closed his eyes.
It's funny to watch his reaction because I like watching the reactions of everyone who, when they win a championship, like who just starts screaming and running and who just sits there and kind of absorbs it and who's like it hasn't really hit them yet, what just happens. He played 19 playoff series before winning a World Series title. That's the most of any player in MLB history.
Look how happy he looks. Look at him. He's crying.
Yeah. I mean, how could you not cry?
Oh, my God. That's great.
It's
sports is great.
Sports are great. God, it's wonderful. Congratulations to MLB on, a successful season during a pandemic. It's remarkable.
Where would we be in America today without sports in 2020? Where would we be? The happiness that these sports are giving communities. I mean, even Tampa Bay loses, but look at Tampa Bay's football team, their hockey team, their baseball team. Tampa's a community I live there with lots of older Americans. COVID can be striking and daunting. Sports is getting people emotionally through.
It makes things feel kind of normal.
Oh, it's never been more valuable than this year. And I'm sure that's a cliche, but there's never been a year in my life where I've appreciated sports more than 2020.
Well, having been without them makes you appreciate it more.
Oh, God.
But just the added stress and the complete stripping of any kind of normalcy to our lives that makes you appreciate it even more, because this is something we're used to having. We're used to seeing games every night. Right. We're used to leading up to championships, and it's been great. And the leagues have been tremendous, so congratulations. And congratulations to the Dodgers and Dodgers fans. So the Steelers are the only undefeated team remaining, but they still think there is room for improvement. After nearly blowing a 20-point lead against the Titans last week, the defense was not happy with their overall performance. TJ Watt said, "We have goals so high for ourselves because we know what we can do, and we feel like we can really be a truly special defense, and that's why no one's really satisfied." Next three games, obviously they have the Ravens this weekend, which is a huge game. I feel like if they beat the Ravens, we have to say they're the best team in the league, right? They're undefeated, 7-0, They just beat the Titans and the Ravens.
Okay, so John Goulet brought up a very good point, and this happens about twice a year, so I want to give him credit. So Goulet yesterday said, because I've been a little cool on the Steelers.
You have.
And he brought a very good point up. I didn't do the herd hierarchy years ago. And Goulet brought up the point, why did I start doing the herd hierarchy?
Because you noticed that everyone else's power rankings were basically just the standings.
And I'm like,
you did not like that.
I'm like, you're going to tell me every undefeated team's better than every one-loss team? And there were everybody at ESPN, because they don't want to get any pushback, they would just list the most undefeated teams. And I'm like, that's never been the case in the NFL. It's the New York Giants, a few years ago, beat the undefeated Patriots. Like, it's all about matchups. So I created a herd hierarchy because I do think Tampa, right now with two losses, is the best team in the league. So if the Steelers beat Baltimore,
I don't think that the standing should be the only thing that you consider. I think you need to look at who they play, how they win the game, what their personnel is, what the matchups are. But
if Kansas City blows somebody out this weekend, how do I put them too? They're better. They've won Super Bowls. They've been good in big games.
So to me, the Chiefs, Bucks, so they play the Jets this weekend. Of course, they're going to blow them out. To me, the Jets, the Steelers, and the Bucks are the best teams in the league. I'm interested to see what happens with the Ravens this weekend, but I think you got to do it. Then they're at the Cowboys and the Bengals, so they're likely going to win those games. But their defense has been incredible. 6 fewest points allowed per game, fewest yards allowed per game, and most sacks this season. They have the third best odds to win the AFC, according to FoxBet. Kansas City, +185, Ravens, +333, and Pittsburgh is at third with +400.
I'm not sure if I'm buying Buffalo anymore. I think this morning.
Me either, but that's a pretty good number for the Steelers.
This morning, I think Miami, if Tua is as good as I think, Miami is better than Buffalo this morning. This morning. I didn't think that 2 weeks ago. Right now.
I got to see what happens this weekend first.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick may have benched Cam Newton Sunday, but he's continuing to stand behind him. Belichick said Cam will remain the starting quarterback despite his recent struggles because he is their best option.
He's our best player there, and so, again, there are other problems offensively. There are things that we need to just, do better, and that's what we're going to work on. I think we have our best players out there. We've just got to find a way to be more productive.
Will Blackman had a very, very funny quote on this. Can I read this to you?
Yes.
You're going to like this. This is Will Blackman, who's my friend and our friend. He said, Cam going to the Patriots with no weapons is like going to Vegas with no connections. You hear all the great things and how fun Vegas is, but you can't get into any of the clubs. You can't get a cabana at the pool, and you just get Denny's and head back to your hotel you booked on Hotwire. And that's really funny and really true. You go to the Patriots, you think this is glorious, but they have no players.
Yeah. No, that is a great analogy.
It
for
really
anyone
is.
Who's ever been to Vegas without a connect. I'm a woman, so I don't have these problems in Vegas, but
yeah.
I've heard.
Yeah, it's, pretty women just,
I want to
go there.
It's difficult.
There.
Yes, I take full advantage of that in Vegas, and I will not apologize.
Have you ever gone to a nightclub there?
What? In Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I had my bachelorette party in Vegas.
Okay, I didn't know that. That was a stupid question.
Yes, I've been to many nightclubs in Vegas.
Oh, many?
Many nightclubs, well, yes.
Well, is it a Club Shay Shay? Have you gone to that
I
one?
I haven't been to Club Shay Shay. I've been to XS.
Oh, and that I'm sure it is
XS. XS is amazing. XS is my favorite club in Vegas. I think XS is probably my favorite club. Well, no, 11 in Miami is my favorite club.
Breaking news. Joy has more fun than you.
So you
I
go
mean,
to...
find fun.
So when you go to clubs, do you like... dance?
I'm not a big dancer. I need my space. Like, I need to be okay. at a table. I'm a snob. I need to be at a table. I need a place to sit.
That's why you and I get along. I have
a bottle. Like, I don't need to, I can't be around all the people. I need my space. Like,
that's why Joy and I really, that's why it works, I think.
I'm a snob.
Well, you're a Capricorn.
Yes. Right. I will not apologize for the way that I am.
That's funny. All right, Joy of the News.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Coming up next, we play Dealt or Not Dealt. There's a lot of people. I want to be an NFL GM. I've said this before. If I didn't do this, my dream job is NFL GM. Would I trade this guy? Would I not? Because there's a lot of names out there on the wires. We'll talk about that coming up. Guys, you've heard us talk about our favorite brand of cowboy boots, Tecovas. Based in beautiful Austin, Texas. What a great city that is. Lakes and rivers. And have you been to Austin, Texas?
I haven't. It's on my list.
Oh, it's really good. Reminds me a little of a more mature Nashville. Nashville's becoming Austin, what Austin was about 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
I've been to Nashville.
They got good food trucks in Austin. Really good food trucks. I think they in Portland invented those things. I don't know. I'm making crap up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
The weather can be unpredictable. Be prepared. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades, real world proven. Walmart's where you get them. The only place you get them lasts 2 times longer than other blades. NFL trading deadline and our election is next Tuesday. So I have said I've always wanted to be a general manager. If I didn't do this, if I could be an NFL general manager, I would absolutely love it. And so Joy is going to team me up on some players who are rumored to be on the trade block. And I'm the general manager of the team. When I consider a cap, injuries, all this stuff, would I trade them or not? Here we go.
All right. Matt Ryan, should he be dealt or not dealt?
Not dealt. It would be an enormous cap hit. He's the 10th highest paid quarterback in the league. I would draft a quarterback if I could. The game is changing. I'd like a little better arm and more athletic ability. But for a year, I would consider next year's trading deadline, but not right now.
Julio Jones, dealt or not dealt?
I would deal Julio Jones. He is still considered a great NFL playmaker. He's a tough guy who plays with injuries, but he does feel like he's dealing with injuries a lot. He's even getting work on the sidelines. He's 31 years old. Nobody disputes his talent, but there, when it comes to wide receivers and corners, speed positions, and the influx of wide receiver talent, I think I'd move him.
Stephon Gilmore, dealt or not dealt?
Thought a lot about this. Dealt. Belichick moves off guys at the right time. He has this year the lowest overall grade, according to Pro Football Focus, in 7 years. So he is an aging and highly expensive quarterback, cornerback. The good news is most teams in the NFL that are playoff teams could all use a pass rusher or a corner. So I think as you have a very strong top of the NFL with no real clear-cut favorite outside of maybe Kansas City, that creates a little urgency and desperation. He's expensive. Buy low, sell high. I think it's the time to move him.
Golden Tate, dealt or not dealt?
Never understood the Golden Tate move in the first place. They had Sterling Shepard. I would deal him. He is now in his 11th season. This never made sense. He'll still give you 500 yards a year, but I never understood the move. The Giants need to be more explosive on the perimeter. He's more possession-based. I would move him.
Amari Cooper, dealt or not dealt?
Like him a lot. I would deal him because of the emergence of rookie CeeDee Lamb. Let's be honest. He fell into your lap. Cedric Wilson's a very good young number 3 or 4 receiver. I like him a lot. Michael Gallup. You're still not paying him yet, and I think you could get a second or a third round pick for Amari Cooper. The Cowboys don't need receivers. They need cap room next year, and they need picks. I can like Amari, but frankly, if you asked Amari Cooper if he could play for Green Bay tomorrow or Dallas, where would you rather play? He may love Dak, but Dak's not here for the next 10 weeks.
Kyle Rudolph, dealt or not dealt?
This is a tough one because he's never missed a game in 6 years. This is a really hard one. But I would deal him because I think Minnesota's got a smart front office. They've got another tight end they like. They've got receivers. They've got Delvin Cook. They don't need offensive targets. They've got to rebuild this defense, regardless if it's Mike Zimmer or not. They don't have a pass rush. This is a very good front office. Rudolph has given you pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. 6 years, no injuries. He's a Pro Bowler. I like him as a player. But again, Green Bay could use a tight end. Now, he's not going to go to Green Bay because Minnesota's not going to deal him there. But you look at some of these good teams, they could use a tight end.
Your guy, Sam Darnold, doubt or not doubt?
I would not deal him because I believe you can get six picks for Trevor Lawrence. I think you can get three firsts and a bunch of seconds, and I would stick with him, and I would hire him a new coach. I would go hire him a Ryan Day or Lincoln Riley. Remember, they already have two first-round picks because of the Jamal Adams deal. So the Jets already have a surplus of picks in cap space. So I can get six great picks on top of the picks and all the cap space. I would not. I would get as many picks as I could. I'd get a legitimate offensive coach who gets along with people.
Julian Edelman, doubt or not doubt?
Easy one, deal him. Bottom line is you're not going anywhere. I'm not sure there'd be a lot of takers. Increasingly, he's got drops. He's an older player. You know, he's a very good slot, so I'm sure there's a good team that would take him for a short period of time. He's signed through the end of next year. So, again, if I bring him on, I only need about a year out of him. I think I could get, you know, maybe a fifth, sixth round pick. But I felt this about 2 years ago. Little more injuries, few more drops. About 2 years ago, time to move on.
Zach Ertz, doubt or not doubt?
I don't think I would deal him yet. First of all, he's got an injury. It's Philadelphia. Everybody gets hurt. But I don't think they're in a rebuild. I think they can win this division. And because of their wide receiver issues and Miles Sanders' injuries, they really need him. And I also think he's a good locker room guy. I think he really gets along. He and Wentz seem to work really, really well. Now, Nick Foles and Alshon Jeffries clicked, but Zach Ertz really works with Carson Wentz, so I don't think I'd move him. And you know, if somebody gives me a great pick, but I think he's a stabilizing force in the locker room.
J.J. Watt, doubt or not doubt?
This is an easy one. I think this is one of the good ones. I would deal him because I think J.J. Watt is a really good locker room guy. He can still be a good player. And I think Houston is very close to a rebuild. You can't have Deshaun Watson and that left tackle and be in a total rebuild because they're going to be able to score a bunch of points. But I think you can get cap space and picks for J.J. Watt. And again, almost all the good teams in the NFL need a pass rusher. Like Pittsburgh's rare. You know, Pittsburgh is very rare. Like, that's the last thing they need is getting to the quarterback. Dealt or not dealt. There you go.
The Jets have as many as 11 picks in the 2021 draft, including two first, one second, and two thirds.
Okay, so now somebody comes to me and gives me another first and a second just for next year's draft. You might be able to get a first, second, and a third. You could have seven starters on your picks. And if you hit on five of them, you should hit first, second, third round. By the time you get to the fourth, fifth, you're crossing your fingers. But to me, you know, and I like Darnold. He has all the qualities. It's like Dak. I don't have to love Dak's throwing motion and Darnold's throwing motion. But I do think they're A-plus in all the intangibles. And it's sometimes guys get hurt. So that's how I see the world. Men, if you're not ready to give up, if you want to feel more energized, strong, driven, lean, try mdriveformen.com. Today, Walgreens Vitamin Shop. Have it. Good stuff today.
Well, that's a great show.
Thursday night football tomorrow. Tonight, man, I just may go out in the town.
Oh.
Have my own parade. Can't have them in the city. I may just have my own parade.
Congrats, Dodgers.
It's the Herd.